I think when I mention what I'm talking about, that, you know, people talk about that every day. They really don't. And if you really want to go and try to do some research on, I'm not just talking about charismatic, word of faith people, Pentecostal people who've written on the subject, but I mean anybody, believe it or not, anybody in Christianity, there is very little written about the authority that's in the name Jesus. Look up sometime, just look up what's available on the name of Jesus. And I could tell you pretty much, because that's a subject that's interesting to me, and I can pretty much tell you who, if somebody's written a book, who it was. But I know the only one I've read. And the only one I read was E.W. Kenyon, who's a very controversial figure because they think that he was somehow this metaphysical, meta-spiritual, whatever. They've accused Kenneth Hagin of plagiarizing with E.W. Kenyon. I read E.W. Kenyon stuff and I'm like, man, they had that stuff available back then and people wasn't working and operating on it. I can't believe that they're not now. So see, here's what happens. Denominations and those in Protestantism, many times will look at the things that we believe and think that it's a mixture between what the Bible says and what Scientology believes, that it's all in the mind, that it's positive thinking, and that we think that if we can say something over and over and over enough, it will happen. And you know that's not what I'm talking about, right? It's not that you say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and just magically, whatever number it needed to be for you to be healed, it just happens. The bottom line is, it's the word of God. God said it, and he did it. And he's done everything he's ever going to do. It's our receiving it. It's not about positive thinking. Positive thinking is kind of new age and meta-spiritual and metaphysical. It's out there, right? However, God's word is truth. What it is I'm saying it with my mouth and lining up till it lines up with what God said and until I really believe it. I begin to speak it until I believe it. And when I believe it and the heart and the head line up, things happen. God said in his word that if we pray believing, we'll receive it. When did we receive it? When we prayed believing. So many people in religious, I'll use this term, religious churches. I'm talking about the ones that believe God saves and that's pretty much it that he does anymore, and that's all the miracle in itself and that's all the healing in itself, and if you don't get healed here, you'll get healed there like you need healing in heaven where there's no sickness. But anyhow, I ain't going all there. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Those are the ones that believe that we're out there and that our roots are in people like E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin, who are these people that are out there and it's all about the mind. Listen. The first time I heard Kenneth Hagin speak, and to look at him, he wasn't like this real impressive man that you would look at him and go, wow, he's a really impressive man. He just wasn't that person. The thing that caught me by surprise, and I said the same thing that I know everybody says, but when he said, I haven't had sickness in my body in 40 years. He said, I haven't had a headache in 40 years. And I'm going, it's like everybody else has. I'd never say that, I'll tell you right now, because just as sure as you say that, you're going to get one. Right? That's what you think when you hear that and you've not ever heard that in your life, right? But here's a man who says that I believe that we're healed, whole, and healthy. He didn't say that the enemy hasn't attacked his body. Dougie, I think we may have a head off out there, buddy. He doesn't say, that in the word that we are healed and we are whole and we're healthy and we walk in health. That's what the Word says. But Jesus is a name that it's used for all kinds of things. People will get angry and they'll go, Jesus. And then they can't leave it at that. They got to add a middle initial and give him a last name. Jesus H. Christ. What's H stand for? Jesus Holy Ghost? I never have figured that out. And Christ ain't a last name. You do know that Christ means the anointed or the anointed one and his anointing. That's what Christ means. Oh, people don't mind using Christ many times. You know, but Jesus. But people don't like it when you're in like a public setting and you start talking about Jesus and using that name. They don't mind using it in anger. You know, and sometimes Christians, we get caught up and we get frustrated and we go, Jesus, help me, you know, or whatever. Well, praise the Lord. But anyhow, the name is used for many different in many different ways, and not always the way it should be used. I looked something up just because you know I'm technological and everything. What are y'all laughing at? The name of Jesus is Googled 16 million times a month in the month of January of this past year. 16 million times. And right now, based on the numbers that we know, and of course we know that there's a lot of things that God's done that we don't know about, right? There are 2 billion people who identify themselves as Christian across the nation and around the world, and 2 billion followers of Jesus. Okay? But you know, people attempt to take away from the name of Jesus and who Jesus is, and they do believe that Jesus saves, but when it comes to being healed, when it comes to being delivered, when it comes to prospering, when it comes to that God wants to bless His people and all of that, they don't necessarily believe that's true. They believe that whatever happens, happens. God sent it that way to teach you something and to show you something. If you have lack, it's just because you have lack and God's going to teach you something through it. If sickness attacks your body, it's because... And that's what they teach. Right? You get in a public setting and you let people start talking a bunch of negative junk. They don't even have to be talking negative junk. They can just be sitting there and you start talking about Jesus and you can watch the mood just totally change right there at that point. Kim, would you look at there? If they wasn't vacationing, I'd make him get up here and preach right now. I love to hear him preach. That's Kim's Ken, y'all. But the name of Jesus has lost none of its authority. This is E.W. Kenyon. The name of Jesus has lost none of its authority, none of its power. And the effort to rob us of some of major positions of Scripture by false dispensational division of Scripture fails utterly. For in Paul's ministry with the Gentiles and his epistles to the Gentiles, he gives the name of Jesus a place that absolutely refutes the entire preaching of those who would put the power of the name of Jesus over into the kingdom period. And what he's trying to say is that everything that we've read through the Scripture, everything that we know about the Scripture, everything that the Word of God tells us, that we as believers who have authority in the name of Jesus. He said, this is what people will do. For all those who believe, here's what they're going to do. They're going to speak with new tongues. And it goes on and lists all the things that believers are going to do. And how are they going to do it? In the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus where the power and the authority lies. And you know, I'm going to tell you, you say the name. See, we can be all churchy and we can be, you know, we can talk our Christianese. How are you today? Blessed and highly favored. How are you? You know, because that's just what, that's what we've learned. That's what comes out. But you can say it and not mean it. And we can say, you know, Jesus lightly, you know, and not really be thinking about what it is that we say. But it's very important that we understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. And we're supposed to use that name. And go into a crowd. I dare you. Double dog dare you. Let them be talking about a bunch of stuff. And then you start mentioning the name of Jesus in there. And you start having that conversation. And you can watch people begin to close up. And not only that, some of the Christian people that are there, they're like, wow, here we were and everything was going kind of good and they're kind of mentioning the name of Jesus. I can feel it shutting down. And then they, it's like even some of the Christian people around you want you to shut it up. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But that's the way it is. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to go and speak before hundreds of people in the industry that I belong to. And when I go and speak, the illustrations that I use are Bible. I get up there. So I've spoken when they had 3 medical doctors and 2 PhDs on the panel. And then they give you the PowerPoint, right? And the people that are doing it, they never leave the table. They never leave the microphone. And they look up like this. And they're reading off the PowerPoint like they couldn't have gave us that at the hotel and just let me read the PowerPoint. Don't give me the PowerPoint and then read it for me if you ain't got nothing to interject. But they don't. Dry. And I go, y'all got a wireless mic? I go, I can't sit back here no more. Plus, them people, you've seen the soybean consumption commercial, right, where the Pizza Hut, where they're all in there in the dark, and this guy's teaching about soybeans. And they all sneak out and go have pizza and come back, and the guy's still, you don't even know they're gone. That's how I felt in that thing. But I got, after it was over with, I was just talking normal. I mean, that's just how I talk. And I'm telling them, Medicare's made a decision, they're going to do this, and Medicare's brought me here to talk to you because they're doing that in Florida, so I'm here in Texas to tell you, you can have the attitude that everybody in my industry had, and you can decide you don't want this all you want to, but it's coming. And you can either do some of the things that I did and even more things than that and get ready for this thing, make yourself to have a better business. And I would tell them things like, you know, I just believe that God's made me a steward over what I've got, and I made a decision. Do I want to run my business continually without taking any Medicare business and narrowing my mix like that, or do I want to continue to? And I live in Central Florida, where in 1999 we had 100,000 Medicare beneficiaries in Polk County that were Polk County residents. That wasn't including all the birds. So you know that's probably close to double by now, right? Plus all the birds that come here, but just at that time, in the late 90s, 100,000 Medicare beneficiaries. And I'm like, I'm not going to not take care of those people. But you know what? People were coming up after there, and they go, I am just blown away by your just being so wide open about, you know, your walk with God and all. And I'm like, I was just telling y'all stories. I didn't realize that. That when you talk about Jesus and tell a story about Jesus, that people thought that was like bold, because that's what I talk about. You know, my son's out in the yard, Dylan, when he was younger, he's out in the yard and there's all the neighborhood kids are out in the yard, And I can't remember what the song was, but Dylan was out there singing some little chorus, you know, and all the kids are standing there looking at him, and Dylan ain't even got a clue. He's just singing his little chorus, you know, going, because that's what Dylan knows. He sings for us in the mornings, don't he? And bless his heart. But he does. And he really gets us ready for church in the mornings when he's interjecting. But, you know, he just doesn't think anything about that. See, when we're walking that way with the Lord, it just comes out. You know, once again, what's in you? You pick an orange and you squeeze it, orange juice is coming out. You take a lemon and squeeze it, lemon juice is coming out. Well, what should come out when a Christian gets squeezed? I know what I hear coming out sometimes, but what should really come out when a Christian gets squeezed? What should be coming out of them? And for my wife's convenience, because Lord knows when I preach, I should really take her into consideration, we're going to look at all the scriptures that I'm talking about this morning on Jesus' name in the order in which they appear in the New Testament. Because, of course, when a preacher preaches, they should never just skip around. They should go systematically through the scripture as it's written. So let's start in Matthew. And if you'll go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and let's go to verse 21. Are you there? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is kin to the Hebrew word for Joshua, or as it's said in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. And what would be a more fitting name for our Savior than Jesus? I mean, you know, we sing those choruses, the older ones that we used to sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And then we used to sing, Jesus, Jesus, and just all these little choruses. I like those. I like those songs, and we still sing some of those, and those are good. Those are ones where we're kind of singing about Him. But I also like the newer style that we get into where we're pretty much singing to Him about. But, you know, all of those have a place. We have songs where we sing about God and how great He is, but we have songs where and praise and worship where we're just singing directly to Him. I like it all. But I can't think of a more fitting name than for our Savior than Jesus. And the angel told Jesus to name the child Jesus. Why? Because He would save the people from their sins. And, you know, I remember when I was out there doing my thing, and I remember in 1981 when I went to that church there at Church of God in Henderson, North Carolina. I'd hitchhiked from Kentucky, got in a fist fight with my roommate over a pair of sunglasses, and he went off to work. I had two cars. Neither one of them ran. I didn't even know where they were. And so I loaded up a military bag that I'd gotten out of when I was in the Marines, loaded all my clothes in there, and took off with probably $60 in my pocket. And I decided that I'm going to go to Florida and deal drugs and become rich. And I'm going to stop in North Carolina at my uncle's house and at least eat before I head south. So I hitchhiked, and man, that whole hitchhiking thing, you know, the first guy that picks me up, he picks me up, and he's got a van, he's got his girlfriend with him, they're going to elope, and he gets out to get gas, and I'm sitting in the back, and she goes, do me a favor, and I go, what? And she goes, I don't even really want to be with him, why don't you take me, and let's go somewhere, and I'm like, I'm riding with y'all. Where am I going to take her? It's hard enough for one person to hitchhike somewhere. Can you imagine trying to get two somewhere? I didn't even know this girl. I go, I'm in trouble. Next guy picks me up. It's a gay guy. Starts hitting on me. I go, pull the car over. And then he goes, do you mind if I take a picture? I go, of what? He goes, of you. I go, no, we won't be taking no pictures, so you can go around and tell people that you did something with that guy. And I wasn't homophobic, but I had a little wisdom. I spent the night in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, under a bridge. Because the last group of people that picked me up was like five guys in a pickup truck, and they had five bald tires in the back, and they'd blow a tire, and they'd pull off the side of the road, and they'd just put another slick one on till it popped. And then all the tires were popped. They finally get me to Winston-Salem, but they took my money for me to ride with them. I'm like, well, I got to get there. But they let me off in Winston-Salem. I got to go to Henderson. We're another couple hours away. Next guy that picks me up was a guy who owned all of the putt-putts, the corporation putt-putt. He was the owner of that. And he's sitting there while I'm riding going, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And he goes, in the back seat, there's boxes of Little Debbie's and candies. And, you know, I ain't ate, man. I gave them guys my money. I'm sitting back. So he lets me off. The next group of people that pick me up, it's Sunday morning, like 6 or 7 in the morning. And these people pick me up. They just got there. They've been at the next city partying, and they're just on their way home. They're all tore up, driving down the road. And I'm like, I know they're tore up, but I need a ride. So I'm riding with them. They're smoking weed and drinking and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the language was like, wow. And the last guy that picked me up was this black guy that his sister worked in the town, you know, where I was at. And he lets me off, and I walk up there. And I walk in, and my uncle goes, well, hey, Bobby, how you doing? I go, I ain't Bobby, I'm Butch. My uncle hadn't seen me in a long time. We'd been in Japan. But see, when I left, my uncle was heathen, and my aunt was saved. Well, now my aunt's done backslid, and she's a heathen, and my uncle's preaching. But I didn't know that, you know. I end up staying there and got a job laying sewer pipe during the day. I was bartending at night, and one Sunday morning they got up and I go, "What are y'all doing?" They go, "We're going to church." And I go, "Really?" I go, "I'll go with y'all." And I went in there, and this guy, T.L. Lowry, in the Church of God, his brother Aubrey, was preaching. And man, he was preaching hell. And all I knew was I didn't want to go there, but I wasn't going to get up, you know, because I was way too proud for that. Well, here's my cousin, who I just got through partying with the night before. He's as wasted and tore up and crazy as I am. We fist fought in the car coming home. That's just what we did. If I didn't get scraped up every once in a while, I didn't feel good about it. I like to fight. We'd get in the middle of the road and, you know, I go, pull the car over. We'd be out there, you know, blood running down, and we go, hey, love you, man. Then we get back in the car. We good. And me and him just did that the night before. I mean, I punched him right in the face while he was driving. And we're sitting there. We're all kind of cut up, you know. We're in there. And I'm sitting there, and the guy's holding an altar call, and I'm going. And he goes, if you want to go up there, I'll go with you. And I go, okay. So I went up there. He didn't rededicate or nothing. He just walked up there with me and kind of left me. But, I mean, I got the goods, and I remember that. And I got to tell you this. I remember from the time that happened how, and see, before that, I didn't want to hear much about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if the Jesus thing came up, I just tuned it all out. I wasn't anti-God, and I wasn't anti-Jesus, and I had a bunch of them cult people come to me trying to get, but I knew I wasn't going there. I go, man, you're crazy. Get out of my face, you know. But I didn't want to hear Jesus either. But I remember coming to God, and I remember how sweet the name of Jesus became to me. And I remember being in an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting, and see, my uncle and all, there's like four or five little preachers around him, and they would go every night of the week. That was a great place for me to get saved, Because every night of the week, they were in somebody's home doing a Bible study. They were at another church preaching. They were at the AA. They were at the nursing home. And I went every night. Now, it wasn't doing good for my personal getting into the Word and all that, but it did me good to be around Christian and at least getting the preached Word and all that. But, you know, the relationship wasn't as personal as it needed to be. But I'm there, Halloween night, 1981, and the guy's preaching, Jeff Pruer, who pastors a large Church of God there, and still does. He was a barber by trade and preached at night. Long-haired guy. I'm like, I can follow a long-haired guy. Just, you know, I was still long-haired back then. And listen to him preach. And in the middle of the preaching, I just bought a Bible that day. Just took that cellophane off. Had never opened it. Come in there, and I said, Lord, I want to do something for you. I've been saved 6 or 8 months. I'd already been to the pastor and said, you know, I just want to do something. And man, he had wisdom. He goes, man, you need to just sit under the Word for about a year and all that. I'm thinking, but I really want to do something, you know. But he used wisdom, you know, get grounded in the Word, sit here, get fed and all that. I see your desire. I see your hunger. I know God's going to use it. So he was encouraging, but he told me no, you know, and that wasn't what I wanted to hear. But I go in there and I go, Lord, I go, I'm going to open this Word. And when I do, I go, I want you to show. I go, I want to do something for you, anything. I just want to do something. So when I open up this book, I want you to show me what you want me to do. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach thy word, be instant in season, out of season. I go, no, Lord, you misunderstood here. I couldn't even talk about God because I would just cry. Because when I heard the name Jesus, I'm like, how can a guy like that ever preach? Because I'd cry. They go, you want to give a testimony? I do. Go ahead. I can't. And I'm like, now how's that guy going to preach? How's that, you know? So I go, okay, Lord, obviously there's a mistake here. And, you know, I go, so we'll try her again. I open it up. First time I ever opened that Bible, ever. And I tried to open a different place on purpose because obviously preaching wasn't the one, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And I go, now, Lord. And I'm starting to pray. Well, this guy's still preaching. You know how the Lord will get you by yourself during preaching because something that's been said, the Lord's grabbed your spirit and taken you there, right? So that's what happened. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, now, Lord, I go, you know I can't preach. And Lord, I was talking about, and Lord knows I can't sing, and I'm going, you know, let me sing. That wasn't happening. But I wanted to do something, you know. And the guy stops the preaching. He said, Butch. And I'm like, and now I'm embarrassed because I don't even know what he's talking about. So I'm thinking, he's been preaching about something I'm supposed to know. He's going to ask me a question. And I'm going to be embarrassed, right? So he goes, in the middle of my preaching, the Lord told me whatever it is he just told you is exactly what he wants you to do. I go, oh, no. Well, moved back to Kentucky. I'm out there washing my car. My dog jumps on this cute little girl at the church next door to my grandmother. She brings me my dog. And I walk in, I go, I'm going to marry the preacher's daughter. My family's like, yeah, we know where you've been. Yeah, that's happening. So I meet Kim and, we get married. But I ain't ever told her about me being called to preach. I didn't tell none of them that I was called. I didn't tell nobody. So me and Kim's married. Now we got a baby coming. I'm at work. And I had this job where I had a lot of time. And so I'm sitting there during the job. And in between, I had like 4 minutes or 5 minutes between every session. And I'd pull that little New Testament out of my pocket and I'd read it. And then I started crying. The Spirit of God just came all over me and told me to call this guy who I thought was strange. Looked like Abe Lincoln, didn't he? It really looked like Abe Lincoln. But he was a Pentecostal guy that didn't act like a Pentecostal guy, who was going to a non-Pentecostal seminary. So, you know, that can't be right either, right? And he probably didn't read King James, bless God. What am I going to do? And so I call him up. I go, man, I'm at work, and the Lord laid you. Just like that, probably worse. Lord laid you. He goes, well, Butch, the Lord ain't spoke to me. He said, but I tell you what, give me some time to pray about it, and I'll meet with you tonight. Bring Kim. We'll meet at Hardee's. So we go to Hardee's. And we go to Hardee's and we meet, and he goes, I'm confused. Now listen, Kim wasn't ever going to marry no preacher, because she moved every 4 years of her life, and she hated it, and she wanted the house, the picket fence, the dog, and didn't ever want to move in her entire life. So, I'm a military guy, I'm good, we moved You know, that's just, the military says go, you go. We just did. So I was cool with it. But we're sitting there and the guy goes, I'm confused. He goes, have you been called to preach? And Kim's looking at me like, yeah, have you? And I go, yeah, I've been called to preach. And I told him the story. He goes, now it makes sense. He goes, the Lord was speaking to my heart that you need to go to school and get more grounded in the Word so that you can go out and share. And I told Kim, we got home, and she's going, preaching, she? And I go, listen. I go, I heard what that guy said. I go, but you know that we ain't got no money. We got a baby on the way. I go, I graduated bottom 10th of my class in high school. I didn't go to school. I was partying. And I go, how am I going to get in school? I applied to 3 colleges, got accepted to all of them. And I go, and Kim's going, like, what are we going to do now? And I'm like, well, don't worry about it. I ain't got no money to go to school. So I applied to financial aid to all 3 of them. I got the full way paid to go to school, except, you know, the daily expenses. But all the school part was paid through Pell Grant and all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, hey, I reckon we ought to go. So that's how I get to college. But I still ain't preaching. I mean, I'm going to school and I'm learning. I took a preaching class, you know, give you the definition of preaching is the spoken communication of divine truth with a view towards persuasion. And illustrations are the windows that open up the sermons. And they put the little camera up there and they make you preach in front of the camera. I couldn't come up with an 8-minute sermon if I tried. I know that's shocking, y'all, but back then I couldn't go up with an 8-minute sermon if I tried. I think I was about 6.5 minutes every time. But, you know, the Lord opened the doors and opened the doors and opened the doors. But, you see, he had a plan. He has a plan for all of us. And he had a plan also to get me from this stuff that I'd grown up with all of my life about what maybe Jesus could or couldn't do and what Jesus would or wouldn't do for me, you know. And then I come out of a denomination where they, so originally I got saved at 12 in the Baptist church. We were sprinkled Episcopalian as babies. So, of course, in that church, God will save, but he don't heal, deliver, prosper, bless, you know, all that stuff, that other stuff. That just, whatever happens, happens. He set the world into order, and one day he's going to come back and get you in whatever shape you're in. If you're still here, he'll take you on with him, I reckon. All right? And so that's kind of what I'd been taught. So then I get into Church of God, and in that denomination, and they're preaching, God can heal. If God can heal, if he wants to. And I'm like, well, Lord, I hope he wants to for me, because I'm hurting right about now, you know. I didn't know how to receive that. I didn't know how to receive that. Because everything within me, and I'm hungry for truth. I want truth. And here's what I learned. Going to school there and all of that, I would go in with the pastors, and they'd be praying for people at the bedside. And I'm thinking, that ain't what I read we're supposed to be doing. It's like, you know, What's the name of that group? Should I stay or should I go? It's kind of like I felt like that's how they're praying for them. Should I stay or should I go now? I just didn't have a good feeling about that. I wanted to pray, and I would say, why didn't you pray for them to be healed? Because they were saying, well, Lord, if it's your will and all that. I felt worse when I came out of there. And I go, why didn't you pray? They go, look, you can't go in there and give these people false hope. And I'm thinking, that's an oxymoron. False hope's hope. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're a mom and dad and you have a sick child, they want hope. If nobody else in that room believes, they're going to believe. I'm going to do what I know to do. And see, every time I'd question it, here's what I'd get. I'd get, well, if there's anybody that needed to be saved or needed to be healed and should have been healed, if there was anybody godly enough, you know, it was Aunt Susie. Well, I can't equate Aunt Susie and Bible. I don't live with Aunt Susie. I don't care how close you are. You don't live in Aunt Susie's house. Only Aunt Susie and God know about Aunt Susie and God. All I know is the book. And the book says, by the stripes Jesus took to his back, I was healed. Healing was provided at the atonement. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes we were healed. Healing's already been provided. In Acts 10:38, and how God anointed Jesus and that's the Holy Ghost power, went around doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you would have life. So here, way I read the book, the enemy steals, kills, and destroys. God gives life. And so you read Acts 10:38. Here's the enemy trying to kill God's people, but we receive the healing. Now look, we're all going to die one day in this earthly tent, but we don't die because God's a spirit. We're a spirit. We don't really die. We're going to live forever. One place or the other. Right? So one day we'll go by the grave. But Moses wasn't sick when he died. God said, that's it. You ain't going in. Go up on the mountain. You know, draw your knees on in. Breathe your last. Go on. He wasn't sick. Right? And so you don't have to be sick to die. You can be satisfied. I already satisfied my days with long life. Hey, he sent his word and healed them. Healing is the children's bread. Who's the children? Us. He himself bore all my sickness. He himself bore all our diseases. Well, if he bore it, why would I have it? Right? Because the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'd go to them funerals where some child has died, and the guy get up there and start the God needed another petal in heaven for his flower. And I'm getting mad now. I'm thinking, I ain't been saved that long, but I know better than that. You know? And it just, I'm hungry for truth. And the truth is, at the name of Jesus, we've been given the authority of the name of Jesus. Not just to save, but to be healed and to be delivered. We have authority. That name carries power. And when we believe that name and stand on that name and operate by that name, it's all done by Jesus' name. The power and the authority given to me by my Lord Jesus Christ. That right there. And you know what? That girl comes downstairs today. She catches me. She's telling me about this girl that ain't ever going to walk again. I go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I go, whose report you going to believe? She goes, she looked at me and she's like, oh no, I done reared him up. Now I go, we're going to believe God's report, ain't we? Yes, we are. I know, here's what she kept saying. I know, but. I go, no, no buts. No buts. Listen, what's the girl's name? The girl's name is Brooklyn. We speak to Brooklyn's body right now in Jesus' name. By the stripes Jesus took to his back, she is completely, 100%, totally restored, healed, confounds, baffles the doctors at her progress. She's walking normal without a walker and a testimony. And I said, and you know what? The Bible says we're two on earth agreeing. I go, are you agreeing with me? She goes, I'm agreeing with you. I go, in Jesus' name. And she goes, well, the doctors, I go, are you telling me about Dr. Jesus? Or are you going to tell me about doctors again? She goes, no, no, I was just going to say. I go, now don't say it if this ain't going to be good. So she just decided not to say anything. That's why she left early today. But I want her to get it. I want people to get it. I want people to get it that Jesus, if it's life, it's God. If it steals, kills, and destroys, it's not. And he came to give us life. And not just any kind of life. Zoe. God kind of life. Life as God has. He says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. And I've already told you, it's two-story. Kingdom God's two-story, right? I got a two-story house. If I'm in the upstairs of my house, I'm in my house. If I'm in the downstairs of my house, I'm in my house. In the kingdom of God, it's two-story. We're in the kingdom of God right now. Right now, we're in the downstairs. But one day, we're going to be in upstairs, right? And so, same way. But we are. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, as some suppose, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we can sit there and say, well, this has happened, and that's happened, and we've got all this going on. But God's God. God's God. He hadn't changed. He's the Lord that changes not, right? Everything that he's always done, he still does. And people go, well, but he does. He's changed some things, like from Old Testament to New Testament. No, he didn't change anything from Old Testament to New Testament. All the stuff that he said in the New Testament is what he had in mind in the Old Testament. The people were soul man to spirit man and couldn't receive it, so the Holy Ghost had to come. And salvation had to be provided so that it could be spirit to spirit. And then we could understand. Then we could receive. Then we can go and do what God wants us to do. And even greater things than he did shall we do, because we got that spirit on the inside of us to go do it. Right? Now I've got the power. I got the name. Got the name of Jesus. I got the power. Jesus is the fitting name. My Lord, I'm at the introduction. Praise the Lord. Make it plain, preacher. Thought I was. Look with me to Mark, going in order. But we'll be finishing this over 2 or 3 weeks, it looks like. Mark chapter 9. And go to 39. Now, people go, but look, miracles, signs, wonders. Matter of fact, there's some preachers, other than some of the stuff that they preach, awesome preaching. But on some of this subject right here, there's one guy in particular, last name MacArthur, that preaches that pretty much God set the world in order. He's done everything that he's ever going to do. Not like I believe he's done everything. See, I believe it's all been provided. He believes it's already been set in order and God just don't do that anymore. That when you get saved, that's the miracle. That's the sign. That's the wonder. So there are no more miracles. There are no more signs or wonders other than people getting saved, and that's enough. And then whatever else happens to you, happens to you. That's what he preaches and teaches. But he's got a lot of other really good stuff when he isn't talking about that stuff, you know. So you got to learn how to spit out bones, I reckon. But when we read here, it's talking about miracles. God says that we can still walk in the miraculous, and at the name of Jesus, miracles will happen. We're living in a time of miracles. 9:39 says, but Jesus said, forbid him not, for For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can speak, that can lightly speak evil of me. In other words, not only can we use the name of Jesus to go out and do what God's called us to do, but when the disciples were going, Jesus, make him shut up. Don't you hear he's doing this stuff? And they're using your name. They're using your reputation. And Jesus goes, it's okay. It's cool. It's cool because they can't go and do that in my name and then go talk evil about me in the same breath. The name of Jesus. Now look, there are people who talk evil about the name of Jesus. There are people who use that name for a lot of other things than what it ought to be used for. His middle initial is not H. Christ is not his last name. There's such a power in Jesus' name that can enable those to invoke his name in faith to accomplish miracles. You are a believer, and these are the signs that shall follow all those who believe. And I think that's amazing, because almost every church that you go to that's not a cult will preach that we're to go into all the nations and preach the gospel and all that. And they talk about the Great Commission. But they says, and here are the signs that will follow those who believe. And then I have people that want to debate with me and they go, well, I believe tongues is of the devil. I go, well, that's good. You don't believe. This is only for people who believe. You know, they're preaching it's of the devil. They don't believe. And I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you what. When the pressures of life came all over you and you were all succumbed by it and you wished and you just feel like you're going to explode personally, you wished you had you a little Shondai in there where you could shadabahata and get that mess off of you. That's where it happens. I have it happen all the time. You know, you can feel an oppressive spirit try to come on you. You can feel all that pressure trying to come on you. And that's, if I didn't have the Spirit of God on the inside of me and that gift of tongues where I can just get off to myself and I can get that mess off of me just like that. Just like that. Hey, the Spirit of God on the inside of me, the tongue that comes, my heavenly language where I got where I've got Jesus praying through me, perfect will of God. How do you get better than that? Hey, that makes the devil go. You know, don't you want to be the person that when you wake up in the morning, the devil goes, oh no, here we go now. He's awake. I mean, that's who I want to be in the kingdom. That's what I want to be about in the kingdom. We know that the name above all names is Jesus. Now look, now that's amazing. Because some people think that there are names that Jesus can't do anything about. Right? Well, let me ask you something. Is cancer a name? So Jesus' name is above cancer. Huh. AIDS, that's a name. Might be an acronym, but it's a name. Is Jesus above that? You know, all that mess going on in the Middle East. I guess Middle East is a name. You know, Gaddafi's a name, and Israel might be a name, and, you know, Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, they're all names. Huh. Jesus' name is above that name. Hey, poverty is a name. Jesus is above poverty. I tell you what, I like the name that's above all and over all of it. Right? Hey, there ain't a thing you can name that his name isn't above. Not a name. So there's something about that name. That's another one we used to sing. Something about that name, Jesus. There's something about that name, Jesus, that carries that power. In submission to the authority of Jesus' name, the four evil spirits came out of the woman that we read about in the scripture. She was possessed by four demons. You know, I look and I read the scripture, and I see the miracles that were performed by Jesus, and then I see the disciples, you know, going out and doing their thing now that they've found out the authority that they have in that. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I get it. Here, let me give you something that's worth more than money there, beggar. Let me give you your health, and if I give you your health, then you can go out and work and make a whole lot more money than I could ever give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and rise up and walk. And he goes leaping out of there. And let me tell you something. I do rehab for a business. You don't take somebody who comes off an injury, been laying in the bed, just their big toe cut off. They have to learn how to walk all over again. So if you ain't ever walked in your life, and somebody grabs you up to your feet, walking's a miracle. But to get up and go, normally they got to hold them balance beams like that. They're, you see them in the rehab, they're in there doing this like this, and then they turn them around, they grab them by their belt, and they pull them up around. They do like that. Right? Hey, but this man ain't ever walked in his life. He's all twisted up, and silver and gold they didn't have, but what I have. By the authority given to me by Jesus Christ, rise up and stand up and walk. And he goes leaping and running through the place. Talking about a miracle. Now look, it wasn't Jesus. I love those people who go, that book was just written by a bunch of men. They're saved. These are saved people. That was just written by a bunch of men. But about getting saved was written by men. Hey, it was good enough to get saved, but not good enough for the rest of this stuff that God says. Don't you want all God has for you? Don't you want to know, don't you want everything that's all wrapped up and bundled up and the benefits and privileges of serving God? You didn't just come to God to get saved so you don't die and go to hell. You came to God so that you can be endued with power, yes, to witness, but that you can minister to everybody you come in contact with, and you can see their lives touched and changed. And guess what? There are going to be people that you go to, they're not going to believe. There's going to be some people that you go to, they might believe, but not enough to lay down what they're in to come out and receive it. God made us creatures of choice. Somebody the other day I went in, it's a lady in Courtney's shop. Her husband, they're young people, 30-something years old. They drank a bottle of Crown every day. Every day they drank a bottle of Crown. And some other stuff, some extracurricular activity. And he's been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. I go, you know what? I was talking to her, I go, you know God can heal that liver. She goes, I know, please pray for him. I go, well, I'm going to pray for him. I go, but you know God made him a creature. He's still drinking up a storm. And I'm like, you know, and she goes, well, maybe it's this or no. I go, no, that's not what it is. It's rebellion. It's absolute rebellion. And I go, and he's going to choose. Now I'm going to pray that God would send somebody that maybe he'll listen to. I'm going to pray. It ain't about whether God can do it or not. It's whether or not that he's going to choose to receive. That's what's going to matter. God can heal the liver. God can heal the liver, turn him around, make him a preacher, and let him go all over the world talking about. He turned that guy's world upside down like a life he never knew. But he's got to make some choices. God made us creatures of choice, didn't he? And he's drawing. He sent me to them. I share with them every time I go in there. You know, so I know God's sending people to them because I'm one of them. There's a girl walked in one day off the street and she's hugging Courtney and stuff like that. She literally a bag of bones. She is a bag of bone. She walked out of there and I go, that girl is anorexic, bulimic, or bad. I mean, and she walks in there and talks about it. She goes, oh, yeah. And but, you know, one of them that's doing like 500 crunches a day and eat, drinks like a cup of tomato soup maybe a day and then still wants to purge. I mean, I don't know how she was walking up and down the street. Was she walking with a walker?
She just had surgery. She's 75 pounds.
And yeah. And I look at that girl, you know what? That's the enemy trying to kill her. And I looked at her, and my compassion went out for her as much as it would for somebody. And you know what? I don't look at somebody that's been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and I go, look at there, you've done drank yourself to death. You know? I mean, that's not what I think. I think God wants to do something. That's why I'm here. But they got to choose it. They got to want it. You know? Hey, God makes it real plain in the Word. He says, look, today I give you a choice, life or death. And in case you're not bright, let me help you. Choose life. Heaven, hell. Is that a no-brainer or what? I mean, isn't it? Life, death, you know, heaven, hell. What choice is there? There. But some people go, I don't even believe in that. There ain't even no hell. You just live, you die, you go in the ground, you're done. Nobody ever knows nothing. You know, deceived, aren't they? Very, very deceived. Okay, well, this would be a good scripture to end with. Since, since I've just got out of the introduction. Mark 16. Go down to 17. Okay. Notice this, y'all. It doesn't even really matter what some people say. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, you know what? That's wrong. See, God said it, and that settles it. It don't matter what you think about it, right? Because you're going to choose to believe or not to believe. And you know, that's a part of our being transformed by the renewing of our mind and get our soul man to line up with what God already did in our spirit when we came to God. We take the Word and we get all changed. And as we see what the Word says, how it ought to be, that's the way it ought to be. And then if we see it's in the Word, I'm going to tell you, if you read what I'm getting ready to read here, and if you think that this doesn't apply to you, then we really need to take a look at what's going on in our life that we would try to justify that if Jesus said it and said it's for all of the, because this is a continual process. He doesn't ever say that this is going to end. Okay? By the way, Book of Acts is the book about the church, and the book doesn't have an ending because the church is still alive and well today. Right? So here's what I'm talking about, God's Word. If I read this, and we know that this, the Bible says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? In other words, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and these signs shall follow all them that believe. Okay? So if you read any of these and you don't think that they apply to you, then I would challenge you and say, because that's what I do. If I read that, and I know it's for everybody, and if I were to look at it and think, well, maybe that doesn't apply to me because, then I would want to go and find where the disconnect is in my faith that I don't want to receive that particular word. Because there's a disconnect somewhere. Why would I not believe? Well, you don't know where I've been. Well, see, it don't matter where you've been. If he remembers your sins no more. And if He's forgiven you of all your sin, to be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought against you again. Okay? And you're a new creation in Christ, because that's what happens to all those that believe. You've become a whole new creation. Your name was in the obituary that day, and then in the birth announcement on the same day. New person born that day. All right? So all that other stuff's gone. Right? All the other stuff's gone. So it don't matter what I did yesterday. What matters is what I do today and forward. Because what can I do about stupid stuff yesterday? Nothing. Anybody in here that say they probably didn't do stupid stuff yesterday? Maybe it was the day before. But all of us have done stupid stuff, including Pastor. Right? But I try not to do stupid stuff. But sometimes I do stupid stuff. And when I do, I say, you know what? I admit it, and I quit it, and it's done, and I move on. That's what you got to do. I can't do one thing about that. Have you ever noticed you can't make people love you? I'm sure nobody in here ever burned a bridge. Okay? But I've burnt bridges. And I've tried hard, because you know what the Bible says? I'm to make restitution. There used to be a big word in the church. Restitution, praise God. So I went around making restitution. I got smacked. I got cussed at. And I go, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tried. But you know, you can't make those people. And then I'd try to like force myself on them. No, really. I'm not like that anymore. Look, I'm saved. I'm a likable guy. Ask my wife. If she loves me, everybody ought to love me. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Which means, lots of times when you meet these people and the thought comes up in your mind, bipolar, it's probably demon. You ever met what people's diagnosed as bipolar? I'm going to tell you right now, I believe it's a demon. I believe we can pray for those people, and I believe that they can be delivered from that thing. It's just getting them to let you pray for them. Had a pastor, my pastor in Tennessee, his mother had Alzheimer and dementia, and she was in the nursing home. And man, I did not look forward to go. And how am I going to go in the nursing home and not even see my pastor's mother, right? But I went in there one time and I had Kim, and Kim's got the baby in her arms. And I come in there and she's looking at me like, what in the world are you doing in here? She might have even said that. Huh? And she gets this wild look in her eye. Now, this lady was a saint of God, like no prayer warrior. I'm talking PhD, Pentecostal hairdo, bobby pins everywhere. I'm talking one of them spitting, shouting, fired up women. So I go in there. And I go, and I'm praying for her. I go, can I pray for you? Like, let me get out of here. Just let me pray for you. And I'm praying. And while I'm praying, she's looking at me wild-eyed like that. And she goes, and this man's praying for me, and I don't want him to pray for me. And he's looking at the mama, and the mama's looking at the baby, and the baby's looking at, and I'm going, oh, my God. And I could not wait to finish and get out of there. And then one day I go in there, and I'm by myself. Kim's not there. And I go, and I've done seen everybody in there. I done ran one woman off because I'm talking about Kevin's testimony and how he's gotten saved and how he delivered him from snuff and all that stuff. And I seen this lady get in her wheelchair and she's getting down the hall. And after the service, I follow her down there and she goes, I tell you what, you go down there and you preach your Jesus, and I stay back here and dip my snuff. I go, no, wait a minute. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it like that. But I done seen everybody in there, including Snuff Woman. And I'm getting ready to leave, and I ain't going to stop by there. And I go, Lord, I do not want to do it. But you just don't do that. I go in, and she's in her right mind. And she looks at me, and she goes, honey, she goes, you look distraught. She goes, do you mind coming in here and letting me pray for you? And, dude, she put it on me. I'm telling you, she ministered to me. You know, there are demonic oppressions over people's lives that they're good people. They love God, you know, but they've got this thing. In my name, if you believe in my name, cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues, you know. So you can't say that you can cast out a devil and then say tongues of the devil. According to, and by the way, who said that? Jesus. So if Jesus said, if you didn't believe nobody else, because that was just written by a bunch of men. If it's in the red, you can believe it. I mean, we all believe if it's in the red, we can believe it, right? They shall take up serpents. Now look, don't go looking for them. But, just like Paul when he reached in there to grab the stick, and when he did and the thing latched a hold of him, he shook that thing off and went on, and in Jesus' name, went on. Don't tempt the Lord your God and go snake handling and drinking strychnine like them people in Cleveland when I was there. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I don't live in fear about going somewhere and eating. I just believe that God's going to sanctify whatever it is that I eat or I drink. And I'm not real picky. Now, Kim, there's just places you can't take her. But for me, I can go anywhere. If it ain't pizza, Brother Dale ain't going to eat it, pretty much. But you know what? I don't worry about that. I went to the Marshall Islands. I ate all their stuff. Came home with a little friend, but he was quickly gone. But you know, hey, I don't worry about that stuff. I don't worry about that stuff. Hey, I believe that he sanctifies my food and my bread. I believe sickness and disease is far from me. I believe that I'm happy, healthy, wealthy. That's just what I believe. And I believe that because that's what the book says. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And the people I'd go in there with would say, if he wants to. I mean, you know, should I stay or should I go now? Lord, whatever your plan is here, you know, just do. I have learned this. When I go in there, and they've had that time where they were unconscious, and when they wake up and tell me, particularly older folk, and they tell me that while they were gone, that they were with Jesus, and they saw Henry and Ethel and all that, I know it's going to be, because he says he satisfies my days with long life, and when they see that, lots of times they're satisfied, and I couldn't bring them back here if I tried. And unless they say, and Jesus told me I had to come back, then I know they're coming around. But if they tell me they saw all that other stuff and they're ready to go and they're good with it, and why is everybody so sad? It's okay. Let's hold hands, sing Kumbaya. I'm out of here. You know what? I don't try to hold them people down. I try to handle the people that are around there that are sad and upset about it. But I know those people have seen Jesus, and you couldn't keep them here if you tried. Right? But listen, y'all. Jesus said, these are the signs that shall follow all those that believe. And in Jesus' name, all those things that he said will happen. Now listen, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. I believe God wants to bless you. I believe God wants to prosper you. I look at where me and Kim are at when we went off to college. I told y'all about my little Honda Civic that was orange. That was about as long as these three benches right here. And I was going to I started sanding. I go, that's too much trouble. I'm going to sandblast that thing. So I get me a sandblaster. I go, look at that, man. That paint's going all over there. Beautiful. Orange and gray. My dad rebuilt the motor in it. Turned the air condition on. Sand. All in your face. I didn't know you were supposed to clog up the vents and stuff before you did that. But the day I'm going to college, the old Honda blew up. Because they didn't wire the fan in. I had to turn the fan on and off, and it had a aluminum block. And I was so excited I was leaving, I forgot to turn the fan on. Blow the car. Here's how sold out I am. I get home, we load up, like the Beverly Hillbillies, we loaded up the truck, and I'm like, see, what am I going to do? The car over here is blowed up. Took the 10-speed bicycle off the ground, stuck her in there, go, we're ready to go. Backed her up and took on. And we get to college, and I'm driving a school bus for a living, but I was riding my bike there to pick it up every day. And then on my way home, I'd stop at Red Foods, and I put potatoes over that handlebar and diapers over that handlebar. Had me a backpack, all the canned goods in there, and you couldn't squish Kim's bread. So I'm holding it. Here it comes up the hill. But I look back on those days, and I look at what God's done in my life. It is nothing less than miraculous what God's done in my life. Man, God's been so good to me. And you know, He wants to be good to all of us if we'll let Him and if we'll just take Him at His word. Amen? If we take Him at His word. Stand with me this morning.